What does it take to fight and win in one of the harshest environments on Earth, where the cold, the altitude, and the terrain can be every bit as dangerous as your adversary? Our guests today lead the 11th Airborne Division, the Arctic Angels, the Army's premier extreme cold weather warfighting force, born a heroic World War II legacy and reborn in Alaska. We're about to hear how this storied division is transforming, innovating, taking care of soldiers and families at the top of the world.
Welcome to Your Next Mission, the nation's number one video podcast on military transition and leadership. We tell the stories of those who served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition and financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now, here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us today. Before we get started, I'd like to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USA, where we take care of our own. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, together they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I say it every week, we love them too. Now I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Major General John P. Codbill, Commanding General, and CSM David P. Hansen, Command Sergeant Major of the 11th Airborne Division, the Arctic Angels. Together, they lead the Army's premier Arctic extreme cold weather fighting force from Alaska. Sir, Sergeant Major, welcome to the show.
Thanks, SMA. Thanks for having
us. Thanks, SMA.
All right. Well, anytime I get to talk to Army people, I'm just sort of pumped up right there. So we're going to get this rocking and rolling here a little bit. Hey, before we get started here, would each one of you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself? And sir, we'll start with you.
All right. Absolutely. So I'm John Codbill from Richmond, Virginia. I commissioned as an infantry officer 32 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been that long. And I've served in the Army in a bunch of different special operations and conventional assignments. Lots of different formations, so airborne formations, Ranger, Heavy, the ABCTs, even had a stint teaching at West Point. This is my second time serving in Alaska. I was here as a company commander from 99 to 02, so it's great to be back in Alaska. And bottom line is I have not made this journey alone. I am married to my high school sweetheart. We have three children. Our oldest, our son, is a Ranger down at Fort Benning, Georgia right now. And we've got two daughters at UNC Chapel Hill. One's a senior and one will be a freshman this fall.
All right. Well, God bless you, sir. Well, do you like Alaska? I mean, I've been to Alaska one time. It was so cold, I had to go back home.
I love Alaska. Yeah, it was super hard to leave the first time. I feel blessed to have the opportunity to come back.
There you go.
And I think it's something that everybody has to experience for themselves. And we appreciate that you came in the wintertime because our real friends visit in the winter. But you got to come back in the summer for some of the fishing as well.
Hey, there you go. Hey, Sergeant Major, how about introduce yourself? Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
All right, Sergeant Major, I got to start out with a loud, thunderous hoo-ah.
All right, that's what I'm pumped
up. It's an Army thing. It's a mindset. It's a culture. In fact, you were my SMA. I know I'm dating myself. So, Sergeant Major, thanks for having us on. I know you've got a wide variety of viewers out there, retirees, vets, active duty. So we really appreciate it and honored to tell our story with the 11th Airborne Division. My journey started about 30 years ago, 1996, when I joined the Army as an infantryman. So served in a variety of units, mostly light infantry and airborne forces. And then this is not my first time to Alaska. I actually was blessed to have the opportunity to come up here and serve as an Operations Sergeant Major, as well as a Battalion CSM. So this is my second time back. Family and I love Alaska. So 30 years, been married 26. We are Army family. I have two sons that serve in the Army, actually in this great division. My older son, he serves in 211. He's a paratrooper, infantryman by trade. And then my son-in-law also serves here in 211. So I have three wonderful kids, and I'm actually a granddad now as well. He's 4 months old, but appreciate you having us on.
Hey, look here, your kids are serving the division right there. I like that too. You can be checking on them all the time. And you have one grandbaby, I guess, right?
I do, so I made it.
I have five great grandbabies, so that's really dating myself. Yeah, but all kids are one. I like it so much. So I like playing with them. They like more than anything else. I like buying them gifts and spoiling them and sending a little butt home. So that's always a lot of fun for me. Hey, sir, the 11th Airborne Division has a proud legacy. What are some of the key campaigns the division participated in, and how did that help you shape today's Army?
Well, thanks for the question, Sergeant Major. I hope we have a long time because I love talking about the history of the 11th Airborne Division because I think it's a very rich history, and it's a history that's largely unknown by most Americans because it all occurred in the Pacific. But, you know, the 11th Airborne Division stood up at Camp McCall, North Carolina, back in 1943 and then deployed to the Pacific, whereas the 82nd and the 101st went to Europe. So after forming and then quickly deploying to the Pacific, they landed in New Guinea, where they stood up another airborne school, continued to train airborne operations, and then prepared for their first fight in Leyte. So they in 1944 they fought in the jungles of Leyte, and then transitioned to operations in Luzon, conducted a parachute assault at Tagaytay, and then basically liberated Manila. During that time period, they also conducted one of the most successful prisoner rescue operations at Los Baños, where they rescued over 2,100 men, women, and children from the Japanese forces, and without losing a single prisoner. So it's very well executed, and very little people understand just everything that went into that operation. And then the unit continued. They were the first foreign force to occupy Japan, the first Allied forces into Japan. The 11th Airborne Division was there for the honor guard for General MacArthur for the Japan surrender on the USS Missouri, and then stayed in northern Japan as an occupation force until about 1948-1949. When they came back and then reestablished at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and then sent off the 187th Regimental Combat Team to Korea, stood back up in Vietnam 1963 as an air assault division, testing air mobile concepts. And then shortly after that transitioned to the 1st Air Cav Division with the great history there with Bruce Crandall, the Medal of Honor recipient. And then deactivated and then stood back up in 2002. So Lieutenant General Brian Eifler was the first 11th Airborne Division commander after a transition from U.S. Army Alaska to 11th Airborne, followed by Lieutenant General Joe Hilbert, who you just had on your show recently.
Yeah.
And now I'm the third division commander since it's been reactivated.
Yeah, the only problem about the division command, it goes by too fast. You know, you're in there and you're out there so quickly. Man, I didn't know all that stuff. Well, thanks a lot, sir. Sergeant Major, you want to add anything to that?
Thanks for that, Sergeant Major. What I would like to add for your viewers out there is we've got a historian that is just incredible. He tells the 11th Airborne Division story. He's out there on YouTube and a bunch of other platforms. But Mr. Jeremy Holmes, incredible human being, tells our story. In fact, we have him out for a variety of LPDs, commanders' conferences. So I just wanted to make sure your viewers, if they wanted further information, received his name, Mr. Jeremy Holmes.
Yeah.
We're carrying on that proud tradition with our units. When you look at 211, the paratroopers, following that history, as well as our 111, our air assault brigade, carrying those traditions forward.
Yeah.
Now, also worth mentioning, Jeremy will be up here this week as the 140 Cav. As we go through the transformation, the 140 Cav is reflagging as the 1st Battalion of the 511th PIR. And Jeremy's grandfather served in Delta Company of the 511th PIR.
Oh,
and
wow.
So a lot of that, the history emanates from his personal interactions with his grandfather and a lot of his fellow veterans. And if you go to 511pir.com, you can learn more about the organization and listen to some of the podcasts that go deeper into the history.
Oh, wow. You're telling me a lot of stuff I had no idea about. And I stayed in the Army a long time. That's for doggone sure. Hey, sir, the division reactivated in 2022. How was that transformed from the U.S. Army Alaska to the Army's premier extreme cold weather fighting force. How was that? I mean, what went on there?
Well, it's a huge time in the 11th Airborne Division history, and really a big moment for the United States Army to stand up an active duty Arctic division and a second airborne division. So when it first stood up, it was still had the USARAC, U.S. Army Alaska TDA. So it really was not structured to be a go-to-war division. So it's been a process the last 4 years. The Army has invested heavily in terms of billets and equipment in order to make sure that we are right-sized to be able to do what it is that our nation will require us to do. And so that means we had an Arctic Aviation Command, which was kind of remnants of the old 16th Cab, but now it is going to become the 11th Combat Aviation Brigade, effective May of next year. We have a sustainment command, like an Arctic sustainment command provisional, that will become a true division sustainment brigade this October. And so our IBCTs are transforming into MBCTs. Our BSBs are transforming into LSBs. And then the next big move for the 11th Airborne Division is a Div Arty headquarters. That'll be effective of October of next year. So instead of just having two disparate artillery battalions, we'll have an 06 headquarters on top to provide that leadership and training readiness oversight. So a lot of growth. We're not a transformation and contact division, but we are transforming it just like the rest of the Army. We'll have our IEW battalion and our signal battalion next summer. And so we'll look a lot like the other divisions in the Army. And this is just, it results in growth here in both J-Bear and Fort Wayne. A lot of people don't realize that we're split station, two completely different installations, J-Bear here in Anchorage and Fort Wayne right up in Fairbanks. And so it's going to result in growth, in which comes with MILCON, which comes with additional housing and additional impacts on the community. So really a good news story all around.
Well, the community probably likes that growth, too, because that's more, money for the economy and stuff. Do you test a lot of equipment up in Alaska as far as new kind of equipment for the military?
We absolutely do. This is the Army's Arctic Innovation Lab.
Yeah.
So anything... there's no better place to take a piece of equipment and try and break it than Alaska when it's minus 40. And so not only do we invest heavily in over-the-snow mobility, but we're looking at the same innovation priorities as the rest of the Army in terms of the small UAS, the counter UAS. But also, we are the Army's lead for not only for Arctic operations, but for power generation. And so we look at things like battery life. We look at fueling for equipment, because as we're trying to move all the heavy equipment, like our Cat Vs, the fuel will actually freeze.
Yeah.
The hoses will break, and there's different things that we have to figure out. And so we have vast resources up here with the Joint Pacific Alaska Range Complex. It's our total square footage is two and a half times that of the National Training Center. We have very permissive airspace, so we do a lot of partnership with Defense Innovation Unit. We work very closely with the Army Research Labs, the Army, the Arctic Regional Test Center, and other pieces of the Army Modernization Enterprise, as well as university partners like University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Yeah.
So to do all that, we've also built our own Soldier Innovation Labs, both down here at J-Bear and up north at Fort Wainwright.
Yeah, I've got to ask Sergeant Major one question here. We'll come for a take a break. Sergeant Major, what do soldiers complain about? Do they complain about cold weather, or do they like it? Most soldiers like it up there with the cold weather?
Sergeant Major, when they first get it, so we brief the newcomers, that there's always some hands, who didn't want to necessarily come up based on what they might have heard. But what we find over a tour is soldiers really learn to love Alaska, love this this mission up here, and we actually get a lot of folks that want to stay. So we have the opportunity for reenlistment bonuses for stabilization, as well as other tools to help stabilize up here in Alaska.
Yeah, well, the Army's really changed a lot since I got out. I never got to stay in any place very long in all my military career. There's always moving me somewhere else, that's for sure. Hey, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about what it takes now just to survive, but not to to thrive in that cold weather, and how the division professional NCO Corps is going to fight and win in this kind of environment. So stay right there. We'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. If you appreciate what we're doing here, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A century ago, our founders made a promise to always take care of their own. That promise is still at the heart of everything we do and why our members know we'll do what's right. Because at USAA, we take care of our own.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Major General John P. Codbill, Commanding General, and CSM David P. Hansen, Command Sergeant Major of the 11th Airborne Division. Sergeant Major, given this complexity of the living operation in Alaska, how is the force thriving versus surviving in extreme cold weather environments around the globe?
That's a great question, Sergeant Major, and I appreciate how you asked that, because we can't just go out there and survive. We've got to be able to thrive in those high altitude, extreme, cold, mountainous terrain. So what I would tell you to start off is every trooper in this division has to be an angel. That's an acronym for us, and it starts with Arctic Tough. That's the mindset. That's the holistic approach. We got to be able to be experts at night in all our fundamentals. We got to be great teammates, both up, down, lateral. We got to be expert at the fundamentals, and the fundamentals are defined by PT, marksmanship, battle drills, mobility, and medical. So that's an expectation of all. We've got to be lethal, and then we've got to be standard bearers, because in the Arctic, we can't take shortcuts. If we take a shortcut on a standard, we lose digits, limbs, and God forbid, a life out there. So it starts with that. Overall, and then at echelon, there's a variety of ways to get after this. So at the senior NCO levels, we stood up a council where we're talking everything from individual equipment to tactic, techniques, and procedures, because we literally write the doctrine for Arctic warfighting. And so that's one way we're getting after it. And then on the training piece, we have our Northern Warfare Training Center. That's our indoctrination to our NCOs across, and they teach a variety of classes to include the cold weather orientation course, as well as the cold weather leader course. And they get that expert level of training and then be able to go back and instill that in the units through our quick cold weather indoctrination courses.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny that it's always the basic fundamentals of anything that you're doing. You know, if you can master the basics, that all this sort of falls together.
The other addition that's new to really just this year is we're standing up our own Arctic Jumpmaster Academy as well as an air assault school. So we've been working with the Maneuver Center of Excellence and the team down there to be able to do that in-house. And now we're not going to have to send folks down to Fort Benning or to Fort Campbell, because we do have an airborne brigade and we have an air assault brigade. And so we need the throughput, and we need to maintain that expertise and also modify how do you do those types of duties in the Arctic conditions. And so we're excited about that recent development.
Hey, when you get to Alaska, do you go through like a 2-week cold weather training course when you first get there initially?
So everybody's required to do quick, which is your cold weather indoctrination course at the unit level. So I mean, and that's going through everything from individual equipment, how to properly wear, to actually certifying cold bag, as well as Accio group.
Do you ever have anybody that comes to the Alaska and just can't stand the cold weather or can't live in the cold weather for some reason? You have to PCS them out of there?
Short answer is no.
I've never heard of that.
That's
we
what
train
I
and we
hear
make them. We train them and we make them Arctic tough, Sergeant Major.
It's a great question, Sergeant Major, because when we do our Joint Pacific Multinational Readiness Center exercises, we get a lot of units that aren't part of the 11th Airborne Division to come in support, and that training is absolutely required of all.
Yeah, we had a team from Guam, a National Guard unit from Guam. I don't think they'd ever been anywhere where it was less than 90 degrees. And it was, we had the coldest winter here last year in over 80 years. But they figured it out. We trained them. They were properly equipped. We had leaders that were you know, checking on them and being engaged and upholding standards. And not a single one of them had a cold weather injury.
Yeah. Usually it's about layers, isn't it? About layers that you put on. You can take layers off. It's always about layers. Yeah. That's every time I deployed. I always made sure whatever you got, take it with you, and you can always take it off. Sir, the division also has a mission in the U.S. Pacific Command area and responsibility. Who does the division partner with, and why is that so important?
Well, it's critically important that we maintain these partnerships because we'll never fight alone. And so through the Operation Pathways exercises, all the units in U.S. Army Pacific conduct operations in the Pacific, and primarily west of the international dateline. For the 11th Airborne Division in particular, we focus on Japan as our priority partner, which is ironic and cool at the same time because, you know, we were the first foreign force to occupy Japan. We were in Hokkaido in northern Japan. And now they are our premier partner, and we do a ton of training events with them from everything from the tactical level up to the operational level in large-scale exercises. We pull in the Australians. We participate in several of their exercises, the Talisman Sabre. We have our ADVON just arrived in India, so we do a lot of high-altitude, extreme cold weather training with the Indian Army. And then Indonesia, every year we send soldiers to Super Garuda Shield and Kasatra Warrior. So there are so many partners in the Pacific. We kind of have a division of labor inside America's First Corps. So the 25th Infantry Division focuses on the Philippines. They have a permanent presence there. And then 4th Infantry Division, the newest addition to First Corps, really covers down on Australia. But like I said, we, because most of these exercises require some sort of joint forcible entry, we normally participate in their exercises as well. And then the 7th ID, which just converted into the Multi-Domain Command Pacific, kind of has coverage over the entire Pacific. And so all of that partnership and all those exercises is part of the Ready Forward concept that General Clark likes to talk about and how we support Admiral Paparo as P-1 assigned forces in the Pacific.
Yeah. I know you talk about a lot of, so do you do a lot of stuff for the Air Force and Navy or Marine Corps? Do they come up and do a lot of training up in Alaska with you?
They sure do. In fact, you know, we're joint, you know, we're on a joint base right now. So our partners, in fact, I'm sitting on the Air Force side, Elmendorf side of Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson. So we do a lot with the 11th Air Force and Alaska Command. We've got an exercise that we're going to execute here in a couple of weeks that we'll do out in western Alaska. That'll be joint. It'll be multi-domain. And it'll send a message to any potential adversaries of just what we're prepared to do in defense of the homeland and how we can project power into the Pacific. So we have Navy assets here. We have a small Marine detachment. The Marine detachment is growing. And then we have elements from Special Operations Command North that come up and train. We've got some other folks from SOCOM coming up later this summer, a bunch of leaders. So it is a joint environment, and we make the most of that.
Yeah, nobody gets anything done by themselves, that's for sure. You got to have a team to get the job done. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about how the division is innovating for the future battlefield and why Alaska might be just the one best place for anybody in the Army to serve. So hang in there, sir, Sergeant Major. We'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Quality insurance will set you up for the rest of your life. And I think that's what Blue Cross and Blue Shield has demonstrated for decades.
It adds to your longevity of life because we want to be there for our loved ones. We want to be there for our family.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Major General John P. Cogbill, Commanding General, and CSM David P. Hansen, the Command Sergeant Major of the 11th Airborne Division at Arctic Angels. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, let me know what topics you'd like us to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Sir, Sergeant Major, the Army has deliberately focused on the concept of continuous transformation, which is rapidly bringing innovation to the hands of our soldiers. Sir, how is the division transforming to meet the needs of the Army of the future battlefield, on the future battlefield?
Yeah, SMA, so we're technically not a transformation contact division, but transformation is a mindset. And so we've embraced that, and we're figuring out, we're bootstrapping a lot of our innovation efforts here. So not only do we focus on innovating in the Arctic, but there's a lot of soldier-driven innovation for other things, like for small UAS, counter UAS, or just things, pain points that they've identified that they think that there's probably a creative solution for some of their problems. And in order to do that, we've built two innovation labs, one at J-Bear and one at Fort Wainwright, where soldiers can go in, they can prototype, they can tinker, and they can take good ideas and then try to actually produce something that they can take to the field with them and see if it works, try to break it. And then if it's good enough, then we can take some of these things and we can elevate it up to the Army Modernization Enterprise. We can go through First Corps' Joint Innovation Outpost, which is similar to what 18th Airborne Corps just stood up. And then they can then find connections or pathways to production through T2COM and through the different elements of the Army Modernization Enterprise.
Yeah. You know, years ago when I was Sergeant Major of the Army, somebody sent an email to me and said the jungle boots at the time were the worst boots in the world. The boots that we currently have, the worst boots in the world. Anyway, he said a whole bunch of stuff. And he put his name and phone number and email on the bottom of it. So I actually called him up, and he said a lot of bad words in there too, but I won't say what they were. But I called him up and said, hey, this is Sergeant Major of the Army. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Tell me about the boots. And he said the boots was all screwed up, and he was up in the mountains in Afghanistan or something like that. And he said, I hated them. They would do, they, you know. I said, do you have any ideas to correct them? He said, yeah, I do. I said, good. Don't tell anybody, but I'm going to call your through your chain of command through ForceCom, and they're going to reach down to you and send you to Natick. I think it was a sergeant first class, but he went to Natick and stayed there about a month and gave him some ideas about, you know, reinventing the boot. And he had some great ideas. Anyway, so I thought it was a good, you know, we got to listen to people on the ground because those are the ones that are telling you what we need to fix and how we need to make it better. Sergeant Major, you want to add anything?
And Sergeant Major, we're working hard. I'm glad you mentioned boots. We're working really hard on the way forward with a vapor barrier boot. We've had one that's worked for years and years and years, but it can be better. So we're getting that bottom-up feedback, working with PEO to get that right. Because as you know, fingers and toes up here is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
One of the questions that we often get asked, given our mission set, is, you know, how can you do it all? Be America's Arctic Division, but also worldwide deployable, as well as P-1 assigned across the Pacific. And the thought is, if we can go up there and operate in that negative 40 high latitude, extreme cold, and operate in that environment, we can go anywhere else in the world, including the Pacific. But the inverse of that is not necessarily true. So what you'll see on our training glide path is our high-end collective training in February, called the Joint Pacific Multinational Readiness Center. That's our CTC, and that's where we're getting after our true Arctic warfighting. And it has evolved over the years. I'm actually a CTC guy from JOTC three times. There's a lot of skeptics out there on what that CTC rotation looked like. And I make no mistake, it is different than a NTC, JOTC rotation, but the value proposition that we get training on our home turf, it's absolutely critical for us. And that's where we're getting after innovation or experimentation, as well as fighting at the scope and scale that we're doing nowadays. It's incredible to watch.
Yeah, I would imagine most of your soldiers are pretty handy going out in the snow and staying out in the winter. I stay out in the cold weather for, like a 2-week training exercise. Do you do that up in the in Alaska? Probably quite a bit, I guess.
They do, and they all the brigade, so it rotates each year between 211, 111, and they've got their collective training glide path, so they'll do their brigade FTXs out in that environment prior to the JPMRC rotation.
Yeah. One of the things I always liked deploying. It was always a lot of fun. No distractions. Everything was usually going pretty good in the field. Hey, sir, during my time in the Army, I was never stationed all over the world. I guess I was stationed all over the world, but never came down on orders to Alaska. Probably right now I'm thinking I should have went to Alaska. And I hear it's absolutely beautiful. And what are some of the benefits from being stationed in Alaska?
There's so many. I could go on and on about this SMA. The bottom line, though, is we have a great community here in Alaska. It's a remote, austere location, so we all depend on each other. We have the highest per capita number of veterans in the state of Alaska than any other state in the nation. And they understand it. They've lived it. They understand what we're going through, and they're there to support us and our families through hard winters and great summers. But it causes a really close-knit community. And then, of course, this is still the last frontier. And I evangelize for anybody that hasn't come to Alaska. It's great if you've been to Colorado or Montana or Canada, but if you haven't been to Alaska, you don't get Alaska. You have to be here to experience it. And it is just, the wilderness is pristine. And it is very wild. The hunting and fishing is unparalleled. The winters are gorgeous. The northern lights. Everything about serving up here, and not to mention, we're probably in the most strategic location in the world. General Billy Mitchell said that the founder of the modern day Air Force said back in the 40s that whoever owns Alaska owns the world, because we have the ability to project power not just in the Pacific, but over the pole into Europe, and we can be within 80% of the industrialized world in 8.5 hours or less. And so there's just a lot, which is why the Army and the Department of War has invested so heavily in this unit, because they know that we have a capability that they require, and they need the ability to project that power wherever it is, because we are worldwide deployable. We're assigned to PACOM, but we, as the only Arctic division in the department, we have to be prepared to deploy anywhere in the world. And so that's just a thing that we're very proud of. We're proud of our history and proud of our soldiers that are truly Arctic tough, and they can operate in the toughest conditions in the world.
Yeah, sir, I can tell just by your voice that you love it up there.
I do.
Hey, sir. The hunting and fishing is phenomenal, Sergeant Major. I couldn't imagine what folks pay to come up here and have an Alaskan adventure. And it's our backyard, so we're actually blessed to be able to have that. One of the things I did want to tell you, Sergeant Major, you asked about the NCO Corps. I would argue we have some of the most engaged non-commissioned officers serving in this division. They just have to be based on that environment. And so it's very rewarding for them to have that experience up here.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they all love it. I talk to Sergeant Major Turnbull all the time, and he tells me he loves it in Alaska. Move up there. And I said, no, I like Florida. Hey, Sergeant Major, would you talk about the quality of life initiatives that directly benefit soldiers and families stationed in Alaska?
I can, Sergeant Major. I appreciate the question, especially like when you look at Fort Wainwright. The Army invested heavily in quality of life. When you look at the community center we had built, the largest consolidated CDC in the Army, the new field house that's coming online, the aquatic center. So we appreciate the Army investing in those quality of life incentives up there. We also have numerous programs. One of them is called RAC-AIP, but it helps offset the winterization costs for soldiers and families when they come up here. So that's another quality of life one. But yeah, it just continues on.
There's a special leave travel allowance.
Special leave travel. That's a one time they get a free flight to their home of record. That's another great incentive.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever got anything free in my life. I got a golf club one time free, and it cost me $200. So I've never figured that system out. Hey, look here. First of all, let me say this is thank you guys for what you're doing. I mean, we probably couldn't. I mean, hopefully a lot of people will listen to this and they'll understand how important Alaska is and how important you guys are and what you're doing. And so before we get disconnected here, I just want to tell you again, thanks a lot for what you're doing each and every day to protect our country and protect our families. You're just doing a heck of a job. Do you have any final thoughts, sir, Sergeant Major, any final thoughts, something you want to share with the audience that we didn't talk about? This is your platform to say anything you want to say. So, sir, we're going to start. Sergeant Major got his mouth open already. I'm going to start with you, sir. Go ahead.
I'll jump on it. So, Major, for any of your viewers out there, if you got some active duty soldiers hopefully watching, if they're looking for a challenge and a great assignment, I encourage them to look into 11th Airborne Division. What the audience might not know is we are actually split station between Fort Wainwright and here at Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson by 350 miles, so it is a full PCS to be able to talent manage between the two. But if they're looking for a great assignment, we are open up here. It's incredible.
Okay. Well, sir, now we're good. Thank you, Sergeant Major. And sir, now we're going to go to you. Go ahead, sir. You got anything? Final thoughts?
Yeah, thanks, SMA. It is absolutely a privilege to serve up here. It is the honor of my career to have the call sign Archangel 6 and to have the great teammates that we have up here in Alaska. To serve, to be growing a division at the pace that we are right now, watching it transform, and to have OPLAN requirements in the Pacific, but having the ability to deploy worldwide, to train with partners, and to provide that joint forcible entry capability, whether that's through airborne assault or air assault, it's thrilling, and there's no better place to do it than the state of Alaska. So we feel very privileged, and I want to say thank you to you too, SMA, for continuing to serve and for telling the Army story. So you cover a lot of ground. I was going back looking at all the shows that you've recorded and all the leaders across our Army that you've talked to and all the topics, not only for active duty soldiers, but for transitioning veterans. We really appreciate what you're doing and just hope that you keep it up.
Oh, I will keep it up. Now, the producer will probably get mad at me. We guys got to come back on the show later. Maybe a year down the road. Come back on and tell us how we're changing, you know, what's going on. But you guys are just doing God's work, and I certainly appreciate it. And I hope you had a good time today. And thank you for sharing your story with our listeners. And I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Arctic Tough.
Thanks, Sergeant Major. Arctic Tough.
Hooah! Thanks again to Major General John P. Conville, commanding, and Command Sergeant Major David P. Hansen for being with us. I'm Jack F. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for joining us. Log on our website at yournextmission.org and check out our job board in partnership with the Recruit Military and Upline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you at just the right job real time. You can follow me on all my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Major General Codbill and CSM Hansen for joining us today. I tell you, today we talked to some warfighters. We talked to some people that are on the tip of the spear, that love our country, love our soldiers, love our families, and want to do everything they can to protect us each and every day. They're just not playing. I've told you this a bunch of times. They raised their hands and said, "I'll protect and defend the Constitution of the United States." That means they're willing to give up their life for our defense. It's our country. It's our way of life. And the 11th Airborne is right there on the tip of the spear for me and for you. Thanks for watching. And thanks to Bungalow Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.